Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I use the Complete Idiot's Guide to the Bible.
Unqualified.
Why can't my kids come into the service? Because we have PG-13 services.
Unqualified.
That has a nice ring to it. Unqualified. I've always felt that way.
It wasn't a compliment.
Junior church has taken over. It's designed for elementary kids or junior higher.
Who doesn't feel unqualified?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Go ahead. Send your apologies to me. Here at Wretched Radio.
I'm sorry?
Oh, wait. That's right. This is Wretched Radio. For those of you who mocked me for being a bit of a germaphobe, using the wet wipes on counters, germ killer on the hands, go ahead. Just send your apologies now. I'm waiting. Wow.
I'm sorry you're a germaphobe?
I'll accept that. That's as much as I could anticipate, frankly. The world seems to be in a bit of a panic over coronavirus. What is the Christian to do? Will I pontificate the health risks? No, I'm not a doctor. I don't even pretend to play one on radio. I'll leave that up to other people. But the government has determined it's a pandemic, and that raises some questions for Christians. How now do we live in light of the pandemic of the coronavirus? Questions like, do we cancel church? The governor of Kentucky suggesting churches should, you know. In Seattle, in the county where there have been more deaths than any other county, out of the 11 deaths in the U.S. of A, 10 of them have taken place in King County out in Seattle. And so the PCUSA, a denomination that's going astray, the UCA, USA version of the Presbyterian Church, not America, USA, the leaders there are saying, hey, we should shut down churches, and they're going to on Sunday. Should Christians not assemble as we are commanded to do on Sunday mornings? I now would like to lay down the definitive Christian response. You don't need to go anywhere else. I'm just going to give you. Here it is. This is the way we should all be living in light of coronavirus. Should we cancel church? What about communion? Do we shake one another's hands? Do we go to work at all? Here's the biblical answer. This is just going to settle it once and for all. Whatever. That's it. Whatever. Different Christians are going to have different takes on this subject, and I don't think we should be making a law where there isn't a law, perhaps. And we certainly shouldn't be shooting other Christians when we disagree on issues like this, which seems to be an increasing trend in the circular firing squad we call evangelical Christianity. I am seeing this more and more, and it's increasingly grievous. It seems there are no rules anymore about judging anybody for anything. You say two wrong words and rah! You say something that doesn't maybe just hit it exactly in the bullseye and you're out of here, pal! What happened to a little bit of grace for our brothers and sisters who maybe don't take the exact position on a secondary or, in this case, maybe a tertiary issue? Yikes, we sure do whiff some chum in the water, and we are just all over it. Can we do better than cable news? Nevertheless, there are some people who are already at war over issues about coronavirus. Should you cancel the church service? My answer is that's up to you. Would I, where I am sitting, do that? And the answer is no. Would I call somebody a sinner who didn't show up on Sunday because they had concerns? Absolutely not. There are people who maybe do have a compromised system. Maybe seniors, who tend to be the people who suffer the most from this and experience more of the death from this, they're afraid and they don't want to go on Sunday morning. Could it be a sin? It might. It might just be prudent. It might just be wise. And I would not call somebody into church discipline because they didn't go to church for a couple of weeks. Nor would I mock somebody for wearing a mask. Nor would I say to somebody who's looking at the communion tray and going, yikes, how is that prepared? Maybe we should be wise about some of those things. Put on gloves, wear a mask if you're preparing the communion. Maybe just doing fist bumps might be the new holy kiss of the 21st century. Be wise about stuff. Make a decision for yourself, for your family, but let's not slaughter one another in the process. And to that end, this is going to hurt. It's going to hurt a lot. A quote from Martin Luther on the subject that I think will guide us through the subject of...
Sorry. That was
kind of like snidely whiplash, just waiting in the bushes. Martin Luther dealing with not just coronavirus, which seems to be a flu-like virus, was dealing with plagues. He was dealing with stuff. It will a much higher likelihood of taking you out. Here's what he said. I shall ask God mercifully to protect us. I think we should, too. Should we quote Psalm 91 as if that is our bibbidi-bobbidi-boo verse? No. No, we shouldn't, despite what a lot of false teacher hacks are doing these days. I'm looking at one of them right now. Here's his sermon series based on Psalm 91 with the coronavirus. It's titled, Why No Virus Can Come Near You. Are you kidding me? And using Psalm 91, no arrows by day, no what? Nothing can assault you, says the psalm. Is that a perfect promise that the Christian will never get sick or catch a virus? No, it's absolutely not. It was a particular context by a particular author in a particular covenant. And furthermore, what do we see throughout the Bible? Good people get sick. Christians get ill. Paul had a thorn. Timothy dealt with stomach issues. Were they not understanding Psalm 91 rightly? No. What are the promises that Jesus gave us for the Christian life? Trials, tribulations, temptation. Paul said to Timothy, anybody who lives godly will be persecuted. There's no protection from that's a Bible verse that you say or speak or understand, and nothing bad is going to happen to you. Ask Job. God could be using these things to grow you, to prepare you for further ministry. And these hacks who make these ridiculous, outrageous claims, frankly, this is like encouraging people to risky bad behavior. Martin Luther had a better handle on it. Oh, that hurt again. I shall ask God mercifully to protect us. Then I shall fumigate, help purify the air, administer medicine, and take it. There it is. You trust God, you act wisely. You don't let go, let God. You do wise things. You use wipies, for instance. You use the germ killer. You maybe don't hurt people at Costco in the process of trying to get it, but nevertheless, and by the way, maybe this virus thing is worse than I thought. Costco has stopped samples. Okay, that is, whoever thought something so dire could possibly happen. We act wisely. You don't walk down the street, and when you see somebody going, you don't run into the front of their face when they go, chew! Avoid it. Wear a mask if you'd like to. You do what you think that you need to do, knowing full well that if God is going to give you coronavirus, you're going to get it. You can lock yourself away in a germ-free room. An idea, in general, as a germaphobe, I find rather attractive. Nevertheless, you can be in that room in a sterile setting. And if God wants you to get SARS, swine flu, the bubonic plague, you're going to get it. You don't tempt God. You don't act foolishly. You don't use wrong Bible verses for silly promises that the Bible doesn't actually make, thinking that you're going to be protected because you listen to that dopey sermon on Psalm 91. We act wisely, trusting God, knowing God is sovereign. He's going to protect or he's going to give it to you one way or another. Luther went on. I shall avoid places and person where my presence is not needed in order to become contaminated and thus perchance infect and pollute others and so cause their death as a result of my negligence. So I want to do things that love my neighbor. So if I'm sick, maybe I want to stay away from people as a way to love my neighbor, not go to work. If God should wish to take me, he will surely find me, and I have done what he has expected of me, and so I am not responsible for either my own death or the death of others. If my neighbor needs me, however, I shall not avoid place or person, but will go freely. I think that that is about as balanced an understanding of the situation as we could possibly have. Are there other things to say? I'll let other commentators talk about that. Is the government behind this? Is this a thing from the Democrats because of Trump? Answer, I don't know. If it is, I got to tell you, it's really wicked because people are losing money. They're not being able to go to work. Vacations that have been saved up, money will be wasted and spent. People are being hurt. They're not getting hired. If there is some sort of conspiracy behind this, wow, there's a lot of evil people who don't care much about loving their neighbors. We Christians, on the other hand, we will love our neighbors. We will be wise. We will do what we think is biblically best. And we will go about the business of trusting God, even as the world has a complete coronavirus meltdown. The definitive word? Whatever. This is Wretched Radio. Let me take you to Eastern Europe, where the stories coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs are much better than my accent.
Katya came to the club when she was 14. Her father at the time left their family, and her mother was struggling to raise 5 kids by herself. Katya loved her experience in the Tomorrow Club right away and was overwhelmed by the amount of God's love shown through the leaders. Very soon, she brought 3 of her siblings that later became her helpers. Last year, Katya repented at the local church and was baptized. Now she's a leader in this Tomorrow Club, serving God. And I want to thank the Wretched Radio for your support that made Katya's story possible. May God bless you.
That's our dear brother, Max, leading the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples, your own Tomorrow Club in a small, poor Eastern European village. You can become a Tomorrow Club sponsor, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
What are you doing April 8th? I know you're getting as many copies of The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. You are going out to the streets to a university campus, joining many wretches to give away a gospel booklet that demonstrates Jesus is God, co-authored with this man, Phil Johnson. Say hi, Phil Johnson.
Hi, Phil Johnson.
He's better in writing. Get your copies of The Man Who Split Time and give it away to as many people as you can on April 8th.
So join us for the Easter Invasion, April the 8th. To get your copies of Wretched's newest evangelical resource today, go to wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time. And join your fellow wretches April the 8th at any public university or college campus for the Easter Invasion. Let's invade these campuses and share the gospel by handing out The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. Get your copies today at wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time.
First, the good news from the Philippines.
Every day in the whole Philippines, there are thousands of new believers being baptized. There are many churches that are being planted right now. The church is strong here and ready to carry on the Great Commission.
That's excellent news, but there is some bad news.
A Bible study leader is not able to provide Bibles for them because he himself do not have any support for the ministry. He's having a hard time even to find his transportation going to the Bible study.
That's not good at all, but it gets worse, I'm afraid.
Filipinos cannot afford to buy a Bible because poverty, and they are very much engrossed trying to make a living for their family. So no more funds to buy a Bible.
You and I can change that for just $5 per Bible with Bible League International. We can bless our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. How many Bibles could you send? Wretched.org/Bible. Wretched.org/Bible.
It is ingenious when you think about it. The mission ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text, an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the mission ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the mission ball. Go to themissionball.org. themissionball.org.
important dates in Christian history. 1273. Thomas Aquinas completes work on Summa Theologica, the theological masterpiece of the Middle Ages. Aquinas synthesized faith and reason, incorporating Aristotelian philosophy into his work, and provided a theological framework for Catholic doctrine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So far, so good. I suspect that'll be the end of that. This is Wretched Radio. Gentlemen, I have laid out the definitive Christian response. Whatever. Different Christians going to make different decisions. Canceling church, going to church, communion, not communion, shaking hands, not shaking hands. I think it's up to individual Christians, churches, pastors to make those decisions for their flock, for their families. And we shouldn't be going to the mattresses on these differences of opinion on how we respond to coronavirus. Against my better judgment, I'm going to ask you, gentlemen, agree or disagree?
We definitely don't want to be going to the mattresses because that would mean we're sick.
Ah, exactly. Or you could catch something because those mattresses cover your filthy mouth when you cough over there.
They're filthy.
I could catch coronavirus all the way down here from
right
your
over
coughing.
The radio wires.
Sorry, I meant to say Luther good, coronavirus bad.
Ah,
so
bold
yeah,
position,
I'm on
Joey.
Board.
Bold position. You know, here's a demonstration that if you're going to get sick, you're going to get sick or not. I had the flu. Don't think it was the coronavirus. Had the flu. Don't you always appreciate health so much more when God heals you? I know I do. And I think that's a lesson I should continue to remember so he doesn't have to remind me again. But Mrs. Friel didn't get sick. So for 8.5 days, I was kind of varying stages of shakes, trembles, fever, sweating, cold, runny nose for about a day. That got tossed in there, too. That was just a little whipped cream thrown on top of my flu Sunday. She didn't get sick at all in the house. Now, granted, we went through vats of Lysol, but the point is, she didn't get sick. You know why? Because God didn't want her to get sick. If God wanted her to get sick, and by want, I mean, but he ordains it. God doesn't delight when we get illness. Like, ooh, I'm going to make sure that they're throwing up with a combination of the shakes and an upset stomach. I love that combination. I want that to happen. That's not God, but he does ordain it, and he can send illness. The devil can cause illness, it seems, and certainly God can, and it is not a sin for him to do so. If the Lord strikes me with coronavirus, I cannot shake my fist at the heavens and go, how dare you either permit or cause this? God ordains it. It is good for his children. Never forget that. The theology of sovereignty on one hand, God's goodness on the other hand, and that will keep it balanced for you. What God ordains is always good, always, no exceptions. And so I see an example in my own home. God wanted me to be sick. God didn't want my wife to be sick. And that is exactly what will go on in your home. God will do what God desires to do for your good, for his glory. He's not going to redeem something out of it. The event itself is ordained by God for good. It's not just what God ordains, what God puts you through. When you are sick, when your head is in the toilet, God is desiring to do something for you in that. The only question is, will we learn whatever it is that he's teaching? Lesson number one, I'm telling you, I've been thanking God more for good health because it feels really good to not be shaking and to not be hacking up a lung. What lesson do we need to learn? That's up to each individual. All right, Tony, I suspect I'm going to pass because Martin Luther gave it an endorsement, and we quoted him. So you're probably fine with everything I said. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Even before the Luther quote, I was fine with that, yeah. See, I figure we're not ever canceling church. What's going to happen is if you don't want to go, don't go, but it'll still be there.
I agree. And look, I wouldn't do it either. Could I understand if a pastor made that decision? Yeah, it's a decision I wouldn't make. Has he suddenly denied the essentials of the faith? Did he deny the divinity of Jesus Christ? Something about the truth? No. I just would disagree with that. Now, I would like to propose this. I do think this is an opportunity. Remember, the Bible is relevant in all centuries. When Paul encouraged the believers to greet one another with a holy kiss, that was a cultural thing. Unless you're in France, you don't do that anymore. We just shake hands, or we do the three back pat Baptist hug type of thing. You know, the boop, boop, boop. That's the old Baptist three pat hug right there. I don't know why Baptists got that claim, but they speak for all evangelical. One, two, three, release. How's about we just, let's just make the decision, elbow bumps in the future. It's equivalent to a holy kiss. You're elbow bumping warmly, affectionately even. Why don't we, can we just agree to do that in the future? I'd like to. Bottom line, fear God more than the coronavirus. Don't be afraid of man. Don't be afraid of an illness that can make you sick or even kill you. Fear God, who can take your life and send you to hell. Fear God. This is an opportunity for all of our theologies to be in balance, to be working them out rightly. We have a chance to model that for the world right now. I think this is an opportunity for us to share the gospel together. When people are scared about this stuff, you're looking for a springboard. How's about this? Are you afraid of the coronavirus? If you would get sick and die, what would that implication be for you? Where would you go? The coronavirus could be used right now as an opportunity. Remember Jesus' words. You and I cannot fully appreciate this. These words are so powerful. If I tried to demonstrate how shocking Jesus' words were in response to a tragedy during a national tragedy, people would be sorely offended by it. So right now, without a national tragedy, no, at the moment, at any rate, nobody has been shot down in a mass shooting. There hasn't been some sort of a catastrophe. Imagine there was. Imagine there's some sort of national event that took the lives of people. The reporter approaches Jesus and says, "What's your take?" And Jesus responds by saying, "I tell you the truth. Unless you repent, you'll perish too." Whoa. That is a slam of a remark. That is a shocking response to a tragedy. Get your priorities straight. Now, was Jesus being cold and insensitive? No, there's a time for that. He wept at the funeral of Lazarus, but he also was willing to say, look, let this get your attention here. Could this be, is this an option? That the coronavirus scare, whatever, how accurate it is or not, God is using to save people? Of course it's a possibility. I'm not a prophet. I can't say it, but it most certainly is. That is why God either causes or permits bad things to happen to pagan people. There's one of two reasons. He is either now pouring out his wrath. God has the option of pouring out his wrath on an unrepentant sinner on this planet. He does not need to wait until he takes his life and casts that person into hell. He doesn't need to wait. He can do it right now. And sometimes he does. Number two, God is using that thing, sending that thing, causing or permitting that thing to shake people out of their complacency. Hey, start thinking about eternal things. Stop looking at all of your earthly activities as if they're the end-all be-all. Get your spiritual house in order. I'm calling you to repentance. You're scared of that? Wait until you stand before me and have to give an account for every thought, word, and deed. Let me get your attention in this. This is an opportunity for us to share the good news. If you're scared because of coronavirus, death terrifies you, I can help you understand why. There's a reason for this, and we can explain it. We're working on Road Trip to Truth right now. I can't even tell you. Each one of the episodes, we are now done. We're formally done with seven of them. A little bit later today, I'm going to be working on number eight with Zach. Something struck me in episode seven, I think. The kids on the campus, John Fabares was talking to them and asking them about, is it ever wrong to poke your mother in the eye with a stick? And the young lady went, well, I wouldn't do it. And John said, I think I would. Am I wrong? Well,
no.
Is it all right for me to poke your mother in the eye with a stick? Would you say that's wrong? Well, you see, that's not something that I would, that wouldn't be the way. And just a complete pen. Is it okay somewhere in the world to beat up a kid with a club? Well, I don't think you should, but this country thinks that you should. Is that okay? And she dropped the F-bomb. She was so confused. The world is confused. Their feet are dangling in midair, wrestling. We're being asked to be insane. There is no absolute truth. We say absolutely, a self-refuting statement, but we have to live and act like there is. And the world is confused, lost, don't know what they're doing, don't know how to make decisions, and don't know what's going to happen to them when they die. Maybe, just maybe, this is an opportunity for us in this season of fear to use that fear to lead them to safety. This is Wretched Radio.
Here's your invitation to support SOS Ministries. They want to see a God-fearing, gospel-proclaiming church rise up across Uganda and impact the whole of Ugandan society. SOS Ministries hopes to accomplish all of this with community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. So would you consider supporting SOS Ministries? Go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. Word just coming out now that suspected Muslim ethnic Rohingya beat and kidnapped Rohingya Christians on January 26th and 27th at a refugee camp in Bangladesh. At least 12 Rohingya Christians were hospitalized with injuries from an attack in Kudapalong refugee camp, that's in Cox's Bazar district, on the evening of January 26th. It's according to a March 6th report from international human rights group Fortify Rights, citing survivors who said they were attacked because the assailants thought the Christians were converting Muslims. Fortify Rights also documented the destruction of the Rohingya Christian refugees' makeshift church building. A Rohingya refugee woman told Fortify Rights that more than 50 people destroyed the church. They are Rohingya from different areas. She said the attackers claimed Christians were trying to convert Rohingya Muslims. The predominantly Muslim Rohingya themselves are severely persecuted in Burma, Myanmar, resulting in mass refugee flows to Bangladesh and other countries. Fortify Rights estimates there are 1.1 million Rohingya refugees from Burma in Bangladesh, most Muslim, except for at least several hundred Christians. Another Rohingya woman said a group of Rohingya men entered her shelter near the church on the night of January 26th and stabbed her husband, according to Fortify Rights. Her husband and other Christian refugees were then hospitalized. Fortify Rights also found that Bangladesh authorities threatened and beat a Rohingya Christian for recording the attack on a mobile phone.
Wow.
Praying for our brothers and sisters? Senator Ben Sasse, a Republican from Nebraska, is asking the Department of Justice to open an investigation into the website Pornhub and its parent company MindGeek. The senator is calling for the investigation after complaints surfaced that Pornhub has streamed video of raped and exploited women and children. According to Sasse's statement, this is pretty obvious. Any company that profits from rape, trafficking, and exploitation must be held accountable. The reporting on Pornhub has been gut-wrenching. Pornhub and its parent company, MindGeek, must not escape scrutiny. The Department of Justice needs to take the first steps of opening an investigation. The senator said in a letter released this week, in several notable incidents over the past year, Pornhub made content available worldwide showing women and girls that were victims of trafficking being raped and exploited. According to Faithwire, Sasse's request also followed a protest earlier this week at one of MindGeek's headquarters in Montreal, Canada. The protest was held on International Women's Day, March 8th, and attendees said they were concerned the company is profiting from actual, real sex trafficking and rape. In early February, a petition was launched calling on the site to shut down because of concerns that the site was generating revenue from videos of assault, coercion, and trafficking of women and children. The petition has more than 439,000 signatures at this point. Lord have mercy. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called our ransom. Through our sin, we are in bondage to sin and death. But Christ paid the fine to satisfy God's justice and purchase us as his holy people. If you are in Christ, you no longer belong to sin, but to God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This world is so confused.
How confused is it?
Very much. This... Wow, the enthusiasm. I'm exhausted. This is Wretched Radio.
How wretched is it?
The suicide epidemic. We all know the statistics. What's the explanation? And we rightly know when you're living in a post-Christian world, people don't have joy. You can't have real joy if your thinking and believing isn't in alignment with God's. It's simply cannot produce joy. It cannot give you life abundantly. It cannot set you free. It can't. It can give momentary thrills, but it can never give long-lasting, sustaining shalom, peace, joy, a settledness. And increasingly, I'm starting to see one of the major reasons why. I wish I could describe this for you. When we were working on Road Trip to Truth, I think 2 days ago, we were working on an episode about truth and that God is, he's the only explanation for stuff, for logic. So for instance, Dr. Jason Lyle was talking about logic and reason points to God. And it is only the Christian worldview that is rational. The atheistic or agnostic worldview, which, by the way, agnosticism, not only because people can't have all knowledge of all things, can't exist, but agnosticism is a settled position. Because Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. And agnosticism says, I'm not for Jesus. So they've made a decision. They're not in the limbo camp. Those worldviews are irrational. They cannot explain reality as we all know it. We all realize it is wrong to poke mothers in the eye with a pencil, to beat small children with a club. That rule applies all places, all times. Morality doesn't just work on most Thursdays, the second Friday of each month, and Wednesdays on a leap year. It applies always. How does the atheist explain that? He can't. She can't. Because the atheist can't be in all times, can't be everywhere at all times. Can't make that claim. There's no explanation for it. Why is there any consistency? Why is there logic at all? On the other hand, the Christian worldview says there's logic because there's a lawgiver. That logic is universal because that lawgiver is omnipresent. That lawgiver is omnipresent. It applies everywhere, and it applies all the time. It's exceptionless. Why? Because that God never changes. That's the explanation for why we see and all agree on certain values, and we have a rational explanation for why things are the way that they are. The atheist worldview does not have a rational explanation. They can have preferences best. And now, these students, these kids now, for a generation, have been told that there is no explanation. There is no definitive logic. You cannot have absolute truth. They say absolutely, as if it's a true statement. And the conscience, which bears witness the laws of God written on our hearts, furthermore, a knowledge that God exists, eternity written on our hearts, some basic understandings about God can be known from looking at creation. We understand our Creator. We understand certain basic stuff. Poking moms in the eye with pencils is wrong. No exceptions. Well, you can't say that. You can't make that definitive claim. But I know that it's okay, so I can't make that claim. But wow, that sure doesn't seem like the right thing to do. No. There's no right or wrong. But we do have speed limits, and you must pay your taxes by April 15th. And if you hurt somebody, we're going to put you on trial and send you to prison. But you said that there's no absolute right and wrong, but you're arresting me for doing something wrong. Now, are people thinking about it on that level? No. But while we were editing Road Trip to Truth, it is going to be... So I'm telling you, without getting bonkers, it's a game changer for youth groups. I'm just telling you. These kids, their faces are demonstrating that it... when the young lady that John Favara was pressing a little bit about poking moms in the eyes with sticks and then saying 2 plus 2, what do you think it is? 4. I think it's 5. Am I wrong? Yeah, well, that's wrong. And she realized she just committed a crime by saying that somebody's wrong. So she ended up saying, well, but math, really, they're just formulas and theories. So yes, I guess it could be 5. So you're not wrong. 25? Yeah, well, and she literally dropped the F-bomb. She dropped the F-bomb because she realized she was being caught and it was just being revealed to her. And you look at this poor young lady's face and just the confusion. The world is asking us to be insane. It is literally telling you to deny what is obvious, what is intuitive, what is a fair observation of reality, the way things really are. No, that's not the way they really are. Okay, well, I guess I better believe that. But then the irony on top of it, the twist, is that they tell us there's no absolutes, but they make us live under absolutes. Can you see how this can cause such utter confusion in thinking? And why we see the world so depressed and miserable? This is I think the world, it's like typical of the world system. Just so typical. We're going to tell you how to think, and we're going to present it in such a way it's going to seem like it really is true. And the world system should be called Charlie Brown's sister. It's Lucy Brown who pulls the football every single time. And our kids are lying flat on their backs. And then the world system comes along and says, we have the solution. We're going to give you a dog to pet. That'll make you feel better. Or it'll give you a Freudian solution. Oh, you feel shameful and guilty because you did what we told you you can do without shame or guilt. Just keep doing it. It'll go away. Cruelty upon cruelty. That's the world system run by the devil, who's pulling the strings, who does what? Steals, kills, destroys. That's the world we're living in. And that's why you... Okay, so Georgia Tech, for instance, they're one of the students, one of the university campuses that provides dogs for the kids, that they're making them confused, and then they provide petting animals. Here's one coming up for you. Oh, this one already happened about a week ago. I'm sure a brilliant panel of scholars for an environmental racism discussion. That's right. Environmental racism.
What is that?
You don't love the mother, you're racist. I think that's the idea.
Oh.
How does somebody get there? We've created this. The world system has produced this absolute positive insanity. All of these headlines that we read comes from the world system, and it's just going to get weirder and wonkier. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she's back on the bench, says first trimester abortion is far safer than childbirth. Well, unless you're the baby. I mean, that's just a nonsense statement. By the way, be looking for that ruling in June. That's going to be a big deal. In the meantime, West Virginia, now to this guy's credit, he actually said Governor Jim Justice signed House Bill 4007, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. It's absolutely nonsense. He even said so. It's a tragedy that we have to have legislation that actually forces doctors to take care of babies who have survived an abortion and are actually alive. We've got to have legislation for that. It's a threat.
Well, they were alive before.
Because the world system is creating more and more ridiculous thinking and behavior. That is why the world is so messed up. Judge rules college can force Christian professor to use transgender pronouns for students. This is Shawnee State University. Infringed upon his religious liberty when it ordered him to refer to a biologically male student using the student's preferred female pronouns. The Christian said that using these pronouns would have violated his religious beliefs. The judge in the case ruled against him. Nope. You're going to call a girl a boy because they think they are. And I'm telling you, this worldview, it is infecting our kids. And there is a chance in this time to not just wring our hands and be consternated, but to reach them with the gospel. Use the craziness that has been created by our culture to bring some sanity. Ask people, do you see how they're asking you to literally be insane? Would you like to hear a sane understanding of the way things are? Would you like some relief from your confused thinking? Let me tell you a little story. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is an opportunity for the gospel. This is Wretched Radio. Do ultrasounds really save the lives of babies? Yeah.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind, but seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
One ultrasound, one saved baby. Would you please consider supporting the Ministry of Preborn? Just $28 will provide a free ultrasound to a woman who is considering abortion. They are saving lives every day. 80% of the time a woman sees an ultrasound, she decides to choose life. How many ultrasounds could you provide for just $28? Kindly visit preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched. Provide ultrasounds and save the lives of babies.
Thanks for being here and listening to Wretched Radio today. And thank you for sharing your wretched stories with us. We truly do love hearing from you. Idea@wretched.org is a great place to share your story. Idea@wretched.org. Or if you have a question, comment, conundrum, or snark that you'd like to voice, beep talk, 1-877-282-BEEP. If I may, let me share an email. I would just like to say thank you. God has used you in completely clearing up all the confusion I had about God and the gospel. Wow. Your program has so clearly revealed who God is, why Jesus' sacrifice is so huge, pure logic, and easily understandable facts on God's existence. Before, I was too afraid to witness since I struggled to have clear understanding and facts on these topics. Now I'm more than thrilled to share this good news. Would you partner with us to make more stories like this possible? Details of becoming a gospel partner at wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Imagine, it's Sunday morning. The alarm clock rings. Bring! Sorry, we got a budget. We don't have much for sound effects here. Bring! The alarm bell goes off. You jump out of bed, excited to get ready for a day at church. You put your little gaggle into the minivan. You arrive at church. You greet everybody happily. You sit down, but wait! There's no pastor. That is what it is like for thousands and thousands of Christians in thousands of churches. They have buildings, they have pulpits, and no shepherds to fill them. We can change that by supporting the Master's Academy International, many seminaries around the globe. Visit wretched.org/pastor. Pick your favorite country and adopt a seminary, and let's fill pulpits together. wretched.org/pastor.
Revelation. Special revelation is God's act of making himself known through direct means. In history, God has spoken directly to people like Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and the prophets. 2,000 years ago, he revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Today, he reveals himself in his perfect word, the Bible. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Permit me to make a joyous announcement before I'm labeled a heretic and kicked off the air. This is Wretched Radio. It's true. It's honestly, it's just a matter of time. I'm going to get busted for this, and rightly so, and told that I'm a heretic and a sellout, and I have no business on the radio. This is pretty much the end. So let me just, before I go, let you know about the Masters Academy International. Thrilled to pieces to be talking about this ministry. There are pulpits empty all over the planet. In Ukraine alone, there are about 6,000 pulpits empty. That's the statistic I heard from a pastor in Ukraine. It's just bonkers. So you got little churches, pulpits, no preachers. Masters Academy International trains men to fill those pulpits. Adopt a seminary, Masters Academy International, mini training centers to equip pastors to mount pulpits, to exposit the word of God, and to feed the sheep. Would encourage you, please, to consider supporting this amazing ministry. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor. And with that, I bid you a fond farewell.
Where are you going?
Well, I mean, I didn't think I was a heretic, but in the last segment, I clearly revealed that I am. I said that Lucy was Charlie Brown's sister, only to discover it's Lucy Van Pelt. She's the sister of Linus, and Sally is the sister of Charlie Brown. So it's just a matter of time before the Christian discernment blogs find out about my grievous error. I'm out of here.
Wow. They don't teach you that stuff in St. Paul? What's the deal?
Now, I don't know where I picked up that wrong information, but clearly I've been a pretender, according to the discernment blogs, because that's all it takes these days to get booted out of Orthodox Christianity. One little misstep, and wow, do you get blasted these days. I'm telling you, this nonsense has got to stop. It is absolute and utter nonsense. I am watching more and more good Christian brothers get blasted by so-called discernment ministries, and then a lot of evangelicals following suit. There are rules to this thing we call discernment. There are levels of considerations. Furthermore, there are some things that you actually can overlook when there is a disagreement. What level is it? What is the issue we're discussing? Who is the person we're talking about? And if you're saying, wait a second, you mean you would judge one person for making that statement, but you wouldn't judge another one? Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm saying. Not everything requires a comment. Do you know who tends to get a pass more than not? Fellow believers, false teachers, quite honestly, it doesn't bother me. If you want to criticize false teachers all day long, it's cool, I guess. I don't think that's a healthy ministry, but nevertheless, brothers and sisters who maybe make a misstep, we can give some grace. I don't need to comment on every single thing that maybe I perceive was said wrong by a brother, especially a faithful brother, maybe one who's been in ministry for a long time, maybe one who has demonstrated through battle after theological battle they're standing on the right side of orthodoxy, and now they make a decision to do something. That wouldn't do it. Nope, not these days. You better condemn them. You better slam them. Send them to the outside of the camp. They're sellouts. Bye-bye to them. What is the matter with us? Do we have no thoughtfulness, consideration for what we're saying about the people that we are just so quickly relegating to the camp of heretic? I'm finding it grievous. I am seeing it all over the place. This may be subjective. Maybe I'm a little bit overwrought over it for no reason, but I'm seeing it everywhere these days. Good, faithful brothers. And you know what we're even losing these days? It used to be where you'd at least get the pseudo-polite, "Well, I really appreciate these brothers. Getting so nice, slash and bash and trash and cut them up and chop them up. But I sure do appreciate all that they've done for the church over the years." We're not even doing that anymore. We're just throwing believers, good believers, under the bus on some of these issues that are just not clear at the moment, or is a secondary issue, a decision I wouldn't make. Yikes, yikes, yikes. The climate out there, whew, pretty soon. You know how many denominations there are going to be? As many denominations as there are believers, because ain't nobody going to get along with anybody at this rate. Kind of reminds me of the old joke, which, frankly, in my estimation, never gets tired. Man stranded on a desert island. After 20 years, gets rescued. Ship pulls up. The men rowed ashore. Notice that there's three huts set up on the beach. They say, well, what's that? Why three buildings? Well, that one, that's my house. Oh, what's the second one? Well, that's my church. Uh-huh. And deserted stranger, what's the third building? Oh, that's my old church. Can't even get along with ourselves.
But
sometimes we can actually, here's an idea. If you're somebody who likes to publicly make comments on stuff, when we're dealing with a brother, a sound brother, do you need to talk about what they said or their position? Could it be that you just talk about the issue without talking about them? It is an option, you know. For instance, I will try to give that a go. Reading an article from Kevin DeYoung. This is an old article. I've been going through some piles of old stuff.
How that for old some reason, is it?
2009.
That what is it? Old.
That's pretty old. The Gospel, Old and New. Now, I can think of a guy who is maybe flirted with some of this stuff. Will I talk about him? It depends on the guy. It depends on the history of the person. It depends on some of the other things that they've said. And there's shades to this. So I can talk about people who are compromising with some issues without always talking about the person. So let's say in this list of four things, I can think of Jim Jimson, the pastor, who has maybe said something that might possibly indicate that they're just kind of playing around with this. I don't need to talk about Pastor Jim Jimson and accuse and pull them out. I'd probably be better off talking to my brother than just shooting at him. False teachers, knock yourself out. Guys who have demonstrated consistently and persistently they are bad teachers, have at it. Brothers and sisters, whoa, little ponies. From Kevin DeYoung, The Gospel, Old and New. And by the way, this is going to sound really familiar. The new gospel usually starts with an apology. I'm sorry for my fellow Christians. I understand why you hate Christianity. Christians can be so hypocritical, judgmental, self-righteous. You know, I know we really goofed up with the Crusades and slavery and the witch trials. All I can say is I'm really sorry. That's a sign that somebody's tiptoeing into. So I'm just going to water down the gospel so it's really palatable for you. Now, has anybody that's Orthodox ever said something like, look, we Christians have made some really bad mistakes? Yes, it doesn't mean that they're guilty of this. But a lot of discernment ministries would go, good enough. They once apologized for the Crusades. So they're preaching a false gospel. Whoa, little discerner. Number two, the new gospel. It's an appeal to God as love. You've seen the preachers with the, you know, the repent or die, the bullhorn preachers. And isn't that what Rob Bell started out doing? Remember, this describes Rob Bell, doesn't it? Hey, bullhorn guy, put down the bullhorn. I'm really sorry for those crazy people who tell you to turn or burn. Rob Bell's a perfect example. Now, I named his name. Why? Well, because he's a heretic. Don't say that gleefully, but if anybody qualifies, it's Rob Bell. That's different than maybe somebody else who has sort of expressed a similar sentiment like this. We've got to consider about whom we are speaking. Number three, the new gospel is an invitation to join God on his mission to the world. The gospel, yeah, it's about forgiveness of sins and stuff. I just saw Andy give that sermon. Yeah. The gospel, it's about forgiveness and all that stuff. We all learn that stuff in grade school. But here's the real message of the gospel. God is near. That suits this perfectly. Number four, there's the studied ambivalence about eternity. Don't get me wrong. I still believe in life after death, but come on. Signs of the new gospel compromiser. When we hear somebody doing this, if they have demonstrated that they are questionable, if they have demonstrated false teaching in any regard, compromising, yes, it might be necessary to speak about them by name. But let's be mindful. There are some things that some people say that because of their reputation, their history, before we go public, maybe we would do well to, talk to them. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.